Ray Allen, Secretary of the Department of Financial Institutions, has been dealing with state government's civil service system since 1987. That's when he joined the Department of Employment Relations. He was also director of the State Office of Employee Development and Training. So when Wisconsin I asked, who can talk about changes to the civil service system? That will be the subject of a 7-hour State Senate public hearing Tuesday. Ray Allen was a unanimous choice. Ray, welcome back to Wisconsin
I. Thank you. It's good to be here.
And you are a veteran of the insides and outs of civil service?
Yes, I've been around a little long. Not as long as the civil service system, but I've been around for a while.
Because the civil service system was started in 1905.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, yeah. Well, I at their press conference, State Senator Roger Roth and Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke listed some egregious examples. One employee watched porn for 4.2 hours, couldn't be fired. And let me look at another couldn't be fired for not showing up and not calling. One applicant was a short order cook and he had to be interviewed for a job involving. Do you have a favorite horror story without naming any names, of course?
I don't have a favorite. You know, the latter one was one of our candidates within our pool.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. And let me qualify this, because I think a lot of people have a misnomer on the civil service system because we say we give exams. And truthfully, the assessment process is not an aptitude test. So if you take it in that context, for the person that ended up being the short order cook, mm-hmm. we have a self-assessment piece that we have to do prior to doing interviews. So it develops a list of candidates who we interview. Through that self-assessment process, that individual popped up. Now, certainly.
What type of job was DFI trying to
do? It was a financial examiner.
So a financial examiner.
Someone who examines banks, credit yes. unions, and our depository institutions.
That's a pretty important job.
It's a very important job. Now, the law states that you cannot ask, unless it's a licensed professional, a lawyer, CPA, doctor, you can ask for their degrees. So a degree is not a requirement for most of our jobs in the system, unless it's one of the license pieces. So people are very good at responding a lot on those self-assessment pieces. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they embellish a little bit, but we have no way of checking that. So once they complete that, that's graded. It's graded blind. And then their name is sent over on what is called a certification list.
Yes.
And that's the list that we have to interview. And that's how that individual ended up coming through our interview process.
When someone is sent over on a certification list, does the agency have to interview all the applicants on that list?
Yes.
And in this case, it soon became known that a short order cook wasn't qualified to do that important work.
It became
correct?
Known in our process that they did not have the requisite skills or background or training to perform the duties of the job. But this is one of the challenges, and one of the pieces of this legislation that I think are very, very helpful is that we get to revise that assessment piece. And the resume screening is just part of the assessment, because the tenets of civil service, the merit part, stay in place. You still have the interview panels. You still have the capabilities that they have to be skilled. You want the best candidates. But what it does is allow us to look at those resumes and make assessments of whether people should get an interview. And that's important. Let me go back to that assessment piece. You may say that you have experience as a loan officer. I don't know. I can't verify that on a self-assessment piece because it's blind. On a resume, I can look and see what years that occurred, and I can mm-hmm. verify that. I can call the bank or call the credit union and say, did Steve work there? What were
his
duties?
And if so, was it for 6 days or 6 months or 6 years?
Exactly.
Yes.
So, and it narrows down that time, because one of the problems here, one of the challenges that we have, is that our processes are taking extremely long time. Our shortest process was probably we averaged about 4 months. I think our longest process was 8 months from beginning to end till we hired someone.
That's the hiring process.
That's the hiring process.
Okay. Four to 8 months to fill a position.
That's correct. And we lose good candidates in between there.
Okay.
So this way it'll allow us to streamline that process, get people into the interviews so we can do the merit portion of that and okay. make those assessments.
That's one of the key reasons that it takes so long that Senator Roth and Representative Steinke highlighted. And let's show some other reasons. They also said that we need a more nimbler, quicker process to hire, because 1 in 12 state employees can retire now.
That's correct. In some agencies, that's probably even higher. I think in our agency, it might be, you know, a higher percentage of our agencies is aged.
Okay.
We need to bring the system in line with how young people now interact for jobs. They interact electronically. They interact with the resume piece, and they don't have a lot of patience. You know, it's hard enough to get them in and for them to even think about them staying long enough to get them trained so that they're skilled. But our processes are not conducive to the workforce we're trying to recruit. So when people ask, well, why do you want to change it now? Well, we want to change it now because the world has changed. And we need to make our processes as effective, as efficient as everybody else's process that we're in competition with.
Which makes me wonder, do millennials want to work for state government? Or is it part of an institution that is not very attractive to a...
Well, we're hoping that they want to work for state government. We want to make it attractive, but this is just one part of that. You know, there's other pieces in here that deal with retention where the legislature is committing to the funding, our ability as agencies to give people merit awards.
Yes.
That's very important, okay, that we can reward people for the merit and the work that they do. But it starts here at the beginning on this recruitment piece, that we've got to have a recruitment system that allows us some effectiveness in touching that new group of folks that we got to reach out to.
Other reasons that the changes are needed, 23% of state employees would be able to retire in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then appeals process takes so long. I mean, once you dismiss someone or try to fire someone, why is that such a long process?
Well, currently, the bill will allow a three-step appeal. So it's in the agency, it's to the personnel shop, which will be a DOA, and then to the WERC. Currently, employees have up to three appeals within the agency. So once we've made that determination, they can appeal to their supervisor, then they can appeal again to their manager, then they can appeal to top management, then they go outside the agency and go to the personnel shop and then to the WERC. We're eliminating that to one appeal in the agency. Obviously, if we as an agency have made a decision to take a disciplinary action, we're probably not going to overturn that. We give a lot of thought to that. We don't do that flippantly. The other appeal process, which then between each appeal, you got 7 or 14 days currently within it, and that drags it out.
Yeah.
That drags out the process. I think this will be better for the employee. It'll be better for the agency, so we'll have a decision in a shorter period
of
time.
Well, as a veteran of state government, what's the longest time that you can remember it taking to dismiss an employee, Ray? Because the example at the press conference from the two legislators was like 12 to 18 months. Have you seen some longer than that?
I haven't seen any longer than that.
But it does take that long.
It does take a while. I mean, even the most egregious kind of cases that you're probably in a 2 month to 3 month period. Now, here's the challenge with that.
And meanwhile, is the employee getting paid and the agency cannot fill the job?
Exactly. You usually put them on administrative leave because they've done something bad, but you haven't got the due process
completed.
So they're on administrative leave collecting pay. And you've got other workers that have to backfill that job. It's not just the process, but other people have to do their job. So I think this process certainly will expedite that. People still have the due process, but it'll be fair, more equitable, and far more efficient from a taxpayer standpoint, from a manager's standpoint, and I think just from a general standpoint to the employees, so they have resolution.
Are these changes based on changes that exist in any other state system in the civil service system in other states, right?
I think there's a couple other states that modified their systems. I haven't looked at those states clearly, but there's been kind of a reform movement throughout the United States to kind of look at the civil service system and kind of see where tweaks could be made that still maintain the tenets of civil service but allow for more flexible processes in the hiring, in the recruiting, and some in dealing with problem employees.
And I was intrigued when the two legislators were asked how many state employees are covered by civil service. About 30,000?
Yes, within the executive branch.
That doesn't include the UW the Assembly and Senate, correct?
That's correct.
Excuse me.
No, that's okay. They're outside of the system. The UW moved, I think, in the last budget to change... To remove themselves from the civil service system and then to implement many of the kind of processes that this legislation does for the executive agencies.
Okay. Well, now let's go through a summary of some of the changes. You've talked about do we abolish the actual exam? No one would have to take the exam?
The assessment processes will vary. We can assess, but there's still a merit component to that. In some cases, we'll still use exams. You know, we have incidents in some of the lower level classifications that that create large lists that every agency's hires off as like the program assistants, mm-hmm. which would have been the old clerical kind of jobs. Mm-hmm. They will probably still have an exam. But it allows the merit recruitment department to make a determination on whether there's an exam or there's not. So it'll probably vary, but there'll still be some components of how we make those assessments, some of which will be still examinations.
Okay, but it's generally fair to say that instead of the civil service exam, we'll be going to a resume-based system?
I think that would be a very fair statement. We have for years, if you think about this has been kind of a in progress over a number of administrations in terms of implementing these changes. Many of the agencies have asked for these types of changes over time, so we've kind of went from one step to the next step, and this is kind of the final step to get
right
there.
Right now, does each agency make its own hiring, which is why this would centralize it into the Department of Administration?
Yes, and that's an excellent point, because each agency probably does things a little differently. So some agencies do use resumes in certain level of jobs. Others do not. So I think having the consistency and the standardization will really help.
Okay. And we would establish a goal here of hiring within 60 days, 30 days to post the job and collect the resumes, 30 days. Mm-hmm. And this is a process now that you said can take 4 to 8 months?
Yes. Okay. And I think that's a good thing, again, that it allows us not to lose good candidates within the framework of that, allowing us to make a quick assessment of who might be a valid candidate to come into get a merit review is going to really help. Because if you look at our agency, we have in the last 4 years, I believe, had about 31 recruitments for financial examiners. Mm-hmm. Of that, we've had over 700 plus candidates certified that we had to interview. Which
for how many jobs?
31.
31. So 700 certified.
Yeah. So this way, we can narrow that down a lot quicker and get the most qualified into those interviews without elongating the process to interview a lot of folks who are very good folks. The fry cook's probably a very good person. Never met him. Don't
just not qualified.
Just not qualified.
To audit
banks,
credit unions, and banks.
Yeah.
Now, as you alluded to earlier, we go back to a merit-based, and lump sum awards. The legislators were talking about $6 million. Is that a year or over the biennium? Do you know?
I'm not sure on that. I think it's probably over a biennium.
Biennium.
I would guess, because that's how we do our budgeting. But the mere fact that it's funded allows a lot of flexibility for the agencies, because even though the program exists now, it becomes difficult for many agencies that are getting GPR funding to fund those merit award programs to their employees, and they'll end up holding positions open just to capture dollars that they can utilize for that program.
And there would be a standardization of the annual performance review process?
Yes. Every agency just about has a different looking performance review process.
Is that
believe
right?
It or not. Mm. And some agencies don't do them for every employee on a regular basis. So this would require that we do performance reviews for all our employees annually, and it was standardized, the form. So I think that's a good thing, because you can train people then to utilize that form in a more efficient manner and a more effective manner, and then you got standardization that we're measuring the same types of things for all our employees.
Okay, and you would define just cause, and we'll go into the reasons mm-hmm. that would be in the bill, but there's been no definition of just cause. The civil service system was set up in 1905,
yeah.
and nobody ever got around to specifically laundry listing the just cause?
Well, there probably is within the WERC, because, you know, they're kind of the attorney appellate body for that. This codifies it in statute,
okay.
and I think that's a lot better, because, you know, a lot of this piece is when you were talking about the things that happen to those employees that aren't good employees. A lot of the agencies, we end up settling a lot of those cases just because of the length of the process, mm-hmm. the difficulty that we have when we go to hearing on some of the decisions that come out of that body.
Because the employee says, I was never specifically warned that I shouldn't watch
that's
porn
correct.
4.2 hours a day.
Well, and that's exactly right. So you don't want to, sometimes if the employee will agree to leave, we'll kind of settle that, and it ends it for both us and the employee. So I think having a having this codified in legislation and clearly defined will allow us to get to the fair conclusion for all parties involved.
And right now, according to the lawmakers at their newser, the uniform probation period is 6 months, but they said that in some cases, if agencies have a question about whether that employee is going to work out, they're likely to dismiss the employee rather than keep she or he on. So this bill would have a uniform two-year probation period?
That's correct.
With the caveat. Go ahead, finish it.
Well, some classifications have a two-year probationary period now, or higher management jobs do. But that's exactly right. The caveat is that we can take it down to 1 year. We can take the 2 year down to 1 year. If they're performing well, you can say, okay, you're off probation in 1 year. Yeah. But what it does allow is it allows us to fully see an employee in action, fully train an employee. And there are some activities. Let's use our bank examiners. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see how you perform in a large bank, small bank, and maybe something in between. We can't get to that in a shortened period of time. It takes us a year to see you fully perform and see how you perform, interact with your cohorts, because we have different cohorts that go into the banks, and you'll work with all those cohorts. In a year's time, you've probably gone through the cycle enough that we've got can make a fair assessment of how you're going to be as an employee. Mm-hmm. So that's a good piece. And if, in fact, that employee's working good in a year, we'll certainly take them off probation. Our goal is not to keep people on probation any longer than they have to be, but we do want to make sure that they're trained. We want to get them at a point where we can really make a fair assessment. And it's really hard to do that when the probationary period is very, very short.
Now, before we go into what the bill would do to define just cause, deal with the Democrats' criticism that this is going to lead to more political patronage appointments. Will it?
No. You still have a merit system. We're talking about getting people into an interview and assessing that pool. Let's go back to that self-assessment piece. All I'm saying is that the resumes will allow us to make a better assessment to get qualified people into the pool for the interview portions of that. There's still, those interviews are done, by the way, for mostly by civil servants. It's rare that any political appointee is ever involved in any of that process. They're civil servants doing the interviews. We want to get people in the interview process so people can make a merit decision on whether they're qualified and skilled enough to have those jobs. It has nothing to do with politics in the sense that they still have to have the skills. They still have to have the right qualifications to get into that pool and to get hired.
But you and I have seen, since we've been around state government a while, we have seen at-will employees to governors, and from both administrations, Democrats and Republicans, at the end, their governor is leaving office. So they take the civil service exam and get civil service jobs. And you and I can list them, and both political sides do them. Mm-hmm. Will this do anything about that practice?
I don't think that changes the practice if, in fact, they get through the merit selection piece. There's, the merit selection piece is there today.
Okay.
If, in fact, they're qualified to get hired, then, there's a good chance that they may get hired. I hope they're getting hired for merit. Hopefully they're getting hired because they are the ones that should be hired. This doesn't change that. Certainly, I think there's been very limited use of that in most cases. Yes, the press has always been good at finding the ones or two.
That's the role of the press.
That are there.
Hold state government accountable.
But what we're talking about is a system that really helps the state overall. There's always going to be an exception to something, but this doesn't open the floodgates to that because, again, civil servants are doing the interviewing and the hiring, and people are still going through a merit process.
One other point before we get to just cause. Mm-hmm. I really didn't understand the explanation from the legislators on how this would change bumping. Can you explain that, please?
Currently, bumping, which is usually done under layoffs, so is done purely by seniority.
By seniority.
So if you're the most senior employee, you would have rights to any job you've held as you've moved up within the structure. The difficulty with that is that many times you end up bumping a less senior employer and going into a job that you have no skills or really no experience or even trainable ability to do. But the one employee's bumped out, you're in.
Based solely on seniority.
Solely on seniority, and then we've got a challenge, because now you're in a job that you're probably not qualified at in many cases, and maybe not even able to do.
It's not a skill set match.
So what this legislation does is saying seniority is a factor, but you can take in other factors such as job performance and their skill set into the bumping process. It equals the playing field for all employees. So I don't think it's a loss for employees who have seniority, because given, truthfully, I know within our agency, if in fact we had a layoff and both employees were equally qualified for the job that the other one was bumping in,
yes,
and equally skilled, we would probably make the choice based on seniority to take the more senior employee.
Okay.
We would use that as a tiebreaker. I think in a lot of cases where you have more senior employees who, in some of the agencies, and they can talk more about this, that are performance problems and other things, and they bump out a newer and younger employee, that has become problematic.
Okay.
But seniority is still part of that.
Part of it.
Part of it.
That's critical to say part of it.
It is part of it, because we're putting a focus on performance. And so performance is a part of it also, along with seniority.
Okay. Now let's look at the reasons in the bill that, mm-hmm. that would define just cause. Some of these are duh. Physical violence or harassment while on duty.
Yep.
Being intoxicated under the influence or possessing a controlled substance while on duty, duh.
Yeah.
Have you seen examples of these
first
two?
I've heard of harassment. I think you have a bigger piece. We haven't, to my knowledge, had anybody that has substance or alcohol abuse, but theft of property, we mm-hmm. have had.
Yep, that's the next one.
Falsifying business records, we have had. We have had... In some cases, this call or no-show piece where people just basically job abandon,
yes,
and don't call in. And other pieces of misuse of the internet, porn, yes.
Okay. Well, conviction of a crime if it makes it impossible for the employee to perform their duties. Does that mean if one of your bank examiners was convicted of domestic abuse, he or she wouldn't lose their job? Or can you put that in perspective?
Domestic abuse wouldn't probably affect us, depending on what they did. I mean, if it was really extreme.
Violent incident.
But if they stole some money, if they were doing credit card fraud.
Oh, certainly.
Things that would be in the realm of the activities that we would say are inappropriate for somebody who has access to sensitive data mm-hmm. and is around money. Then yes, we would certainly not want to hire them and not want to retain them.
Okay, falsifying business records. Does this mean if they have their own business and they falsify that? Explain that to me.
No, people. The cases we've had is they falsify time cards.
Oh, okay. So it's related to their state employment.
That's correct.
Stating on their resume the number of years or their previous employer.
No. It has to do related to their job and their job responsibility. So it may be somebody in purchasing might falsify something that pricing, if there's some investment going.
Yeah.
We've had individuals who falsified their time, falsified their mileage for mileage reimbursement, maybe falsified something that was related to their credit card expenditures. So that's what that portion of the legislation is trying to get at.
Okay. Misuse or abuse of property, including intentional use of workplace equipment, to download, view, seek, solicit, display, or distribute pornographic material. That covers the one example.
Yes.
Okay. And then, as you said, it surprises me, is how often does it occur that you have state employees that no call, no show? Is this?
It's not common for us. We've been blessed there. I know when I was at DWD, we had a couple that did that. The law currently is that you have to be 5 days with no call, no show.
Okay.
So people would run it up to 4 days, and then the fifth day would, contact you. The bill gives you 3 days.
3 days.
And then, you can move to termination.
But it doesn't have to be consecutive days. Is it consecutive days?
I'm not sure on the bill. I don't know if it's consecutive days. The current law is consecutive days on that. But it's problematic, obviously, when you have people that just disappear. And we've had that occur, that they just, you don't know if they're alive or still there or if they've left their job. And I know there's some real egregious examples that some of the other agencies can give you on people that have just really abandoned the job for long periods of time.
One very key and important question that I want to be sure I understand. we now have 30,000 employees in the civil service system. If this law is passed, I mean, if this bill becomes law, would that affect new employees in the Civil Service Commission or all 30,000 that are now in there?
Well, it'll affect all 30,000.
That's what I thought.
That,
but
that
I
are
needed,
in there.
I need a clarification.
To certain parts of it, you know, certain parts of it take effect immediately. I think there's a piece of it that has to do with restoration. Somebody left the system. Right now you have a 5-year window to come back in. This reduces it to a three-year window.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on leave now, mm-hmm. you would still have your 5 years. It doesn't take that away from you.
Okay.
So, but yes, it affects the employees that are
now in the system. Mm-hmm. We have talked a lot about how this gives state supervisors and administrators more flexibility. What's in this for the 30,000 employees in this? What additional benefits, if any, are there for the 30,000 employees that are now part of the system?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think the ability to fill jobs faster takes a burden off those hardworking folks that we currently have, that 30,000 folks in there that are really trying to do the best job they can to not having to do double duty while they wait for vacancies to be filled, because you end up with large amounts of vacancies that people have to make up the difference for, because you know the job just doesn't go away. It still has to be done. There's the component part of merit that's in there that gives employees the chance and the opportunity now to have a funded system where agencies can provide them dollar remuneration for the hard work and the fine work that they do. And I think there's a fairness component for all our employees in terms of the disciplinary part of that system, that it doesn't take forever, that it's fair and it's equitable, and that even with the bumping piece, that it's an equalizer for all employees, that we'll make those decisions based on the right set of factors, not just because somebody has been a state employee for X number of years.
We have had a civil service system, since 1905. Mm-hmm. Why haven't these changes been passed?
Well, we have been making changes. You know, if you go back, Steve, back in the 90s, we started some modifications on changing. That's where we got to the kind of starting to allow some use of resumes as an assessment piece. We've been slowly migrating ourselves there. But again, I'd say they're more needed now than maybe they were needed there. You remember, okay. Back then we had an overload of people applying for state jobs. We don't have that anymore for a variety of reasons. And we need to be competitive with the rest of the world. And those millennials are not conditioned to function within the confines of the way we recruit, the way we retain. So we're trying to just modernize the system so we can be more effective in those areas in recruitment and retention. And if you go back, it's not just us, because the UW went to the legislature to get disconnected from the system so they could do basically a lot of the things that are in that bill.
Many of these changes.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going to testify tomorrow before the Senate Labor Committee?
I will.
And you're going to make some of these same points?
I will.
And preview your testimony in a sentence. Mr. Chairman, we need this because?
We need this bill because we need to make our system more effective, more efficient. We need to be able to be more responsive, and we need to make it fairer and allow some ability to reward our employees for doing a great job.
Thank you. Ray Allen is Secretary of the Department of Financial Institutions. Ray, always a pleasure.
Yeah, good to see you again. Yeah.
Thank you.